Good morning, and today we're going to be looking at part 8 of our series on the book of Exodus called Departure. In this series we've looked at Moses, the chief character in the book of Exodus, and how this important biblical account deals with the departure of God's covenant people from the land of slavery, walking into freedom as they left Egypt. We've seen how Moses had to learn how to depart himself before he could ever lead the children of Israel to depart Egypt. We've also met him with God at the burning bush. We've seen how God empowered him with signs for the confrontation that was ahead with Pharaoh. We've learned that we should preface all our problems with worship and always centre ourselves on God's promises. We've also seen how the plagues of Egypt, which were simply a slap across the face to the idol gods of that nation, we've seen how the plagues of Egypt were a slap across the face for the idol gods of Egypt, and we have seen that whereas it took days to get Israel out of Egypt, it took years to get Egypt out of Israel. We've talked about the last plague and the institution of the Passover, and last week we talked about the way out of Egypt and how the children of Israel experience talks to us about baptism. Today we talk about the aftermath of the Red Sea experience. My first point today is entitled Choice. Verse 1 says, "I will sing to the Lord." This was the words of Moses. Moses declared his worship in front of the people as soon as they had passed through the Red Sea and seen the destruction of the Egyptian army. He declared his worship in front of the people. This was a choice. Do you know something? We don't just worship when we feel like it. We worship when we choose. Sometimes you can come into church and you have the weight of the world on you. You've had all sorts of issues. You may have had to deal with the children before you've got to church. You may have had to deal with an elderly relative you're caring for. You may have had to deal with all types of issues that are facing you. You may have a horrible situation to go walk into tomorrow at work. But you can still choose to worship the Lord. And Moses chose as a demonstration that this was the correct thing to do, to worship God above anybody else. And we as a people need to recognise that we need to model this. We need to demonstrate to people that we're going to worship. If you remember, the children of Israel had a bit of a bad reputation when it came to having parties. They would sing and dance and bow down to idols and do all types of crazy stuff. And we need to realise that Moses was demonstrating the right way before anything else happened. And before a party breaks out, we need to always be out in the front, leading the worship. You might say, "I'm not a worship leader. Jonathan's a worship leader. Libby's a worship leader." But you know, it isn't about who stood at the front. It's about who's worshipping now. Miriam, Moses' sister, she got a tambourine and she got up and led the singing and the dancing. And whereas Moses was pinning his colours to the mast, he was saying, "I'm going to worship. Are you coming with me?" Miriam absolutely got the crowd going. She got up out there, led the women in dancing, and you know something? We also need to recognise that not only do we lead ourselves into worship, and we're all responsible for that, that's not Jonathan's issue, that's not Libby's issue, that's our issue. But also, we lead people around us. And so many times I have been encouraged by people around me while I have been worshipping, because corporately, when we worship together, it has a powerful effect on us all. So a choice was made. If you like, nothing was left to chance. I will sing unto the Lord. What are you going to do? I will sing to the Lord. Are you going to sing? Are you? Come on, let's go for it. Let's sing unto the Lord. Let's worship him. My second point today is exalted. On the screen is a guy walking on a tightrope between two skyscrapers. He's as nutty as a fruitcake. Who on earth would be stupid enough to do that? But I have put that picture up there because right now, while he's on that tightrope, he is exalted. He is lifted up. And this is what exalted means. When we lift God up, we are putting him in his right place, or recognizing the place he inhabits. And we ought to always give God the place he deserves. That we sing that song, don't we? You deserve it. And he does deserve it. And I really like that song because it reminds us of this simple truth that our God deserves to be exalted, to be highly lifted up. He deserves the worship and praise that we can give him. You know, Isaiah is one of the most amazing books in the Old Testament. And Isaiah chapter 6 seems to kick off that prophecy in a new way. Chapters 1 to 5 are really good, but chapter 6, it's like the book starts again. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a high and lofty throne, that's exalted, and his robe filled the temple. Seraphim were standing above him. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. His glory fills the whole earth. Everything changed for Isaiah when he saw the Lord exalted, and he recognized him. And you know something? We will always recognize God when we put him in the place he deserves to be put in. When we try to drag him to where we are, when we try to ignore him, we will never engage in true worship. But when we exalt him, we will do. My third point today is praise. Now, the song went like this. I will sing unto the Lord, for he is highly exalted. He has thrown the horse and its rider into the sea. Well, why sing that? Well, that was exactly what had just happened. And we need to learn that when God intervenes in our lives, we should be quick to praise him for what he's done. We worship God for who he is, but we praise him for his marvellous acts. His glory fills the whole earth, and his touch on our lives overflows, so that day after day after day we see him moving and we recognize his goodness. If you like, Moses is saying, when he says he has thrown his the horse and rider into the sea, he's saying, this is exactly what happened, so I will praise him. And we should live this way. We should live this way every day, beginning with worship and praise for his interventions in our lives. I know I've said this to you before, but some mornings when I get up, I just somehow just have to reach inside myself, and I sit on the edge of the bed until I've thought of three things to praise God for. And I find it a good discipline for myself when I wake up maybe feeling not the most brilliant of mornings. I delve into my memory and I think of three things to praise God for, and then I praise him, then I get up. Because that is the way I want to live my life. It's a choice, you see. Like worship, it's a choice. When we choose to praise him, we are making good life choices. choices that will bless us and help us with the rest of our lives. So praise is part of the song. It's part of the way forward. My fourth point is strength. The Lord is my strength. Now, I read this week online that Arnold Schwarzenegger is 71 and he says his knees are shot. Now, they showed a bit of video of him lifting weights, pumping iron, and he was sat down to do it because his knees will no longer bear the weight. But do you know what? I would prefer not to bump into 71-year-old Arnold Schwarzenegger in a dark alley. He has still got muscles. I would prefer not to anger him. He may be a movie actor, he may have been a politician, but fundamentally he is a strong man. He has a long history of developing his musculature. And the truth is that whatever his age, he has got bodily strength. And you know what? God is stronger than Arnold Schwarzenegger. And that may sound obvious, but the truth is we need to recognise the strength of God. You know, people talk about the fear of the Lord. And there's no question that the fear of the Lord came on the Egyptians before they were swamped and drowned. But the fear of the Lord came on the Israelites as well when they saw the strength of their God. And when we look back in our lives and we see the strength of God in our lives and we see the way that he has marvellously worked on our behalf, the fear of God ought to come upon us. We ought to recognise the strength of the Lord because God is more than able to deal with anything that we are facing. And it's good that we remind ourselves of his strength because whatever we are facing, he is more than enough for what we are up against. God is more than able. He has got the strength to deal with it. It's important that we recognise the strength of the Lord. My fifth point today is song. The Lord is my strength and my song, it says in verse 2 of Exodus 15. God gave Moses a song. Miriam sang it with him. The people all joined in with the song. God gives us a song. And you know what? Singing is good for us. Libby did some research some time ago about gospel music and discovered that there is clear evidence that singing in a gospel choir will help your mental health. And you know, I find that often people will say to me, well, you know, I didn't feel too good when I came to church this morning, but I'm glad I did because I feel so good now. And some of that is because we have released our songs to God. Now, I know that some of us can get a good feeling out of just having a bit of a dance and singing Dancing Queen at a disco or in some equivalent means. But when we are singing to God, there is something that happens that is powerful, that releases God's blessing on us as we're releasing our blessing on God. And we need to recognise that in a world which has so many mental health issues, in a world in which there are so many things which are stressful and pressured, then singing a song to God is good. Now, our song allows us to recount the goodness of God and bring it to remembrance, and the tune helps. And I don't know if any of you will remember this song, but it's so old, Jonathan couldn't remember it one when I asked him about it. But it goes, I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously, the horse and rider thrown into the sea. I will sing unto the Lord, for for he has triumphed gloriously, the horse and rider thrown into the sea. The Lord is God, and I will praise him. The Lord is God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is God, and I will praise him. The Lord is God, and I will exalt him. And whereas I think I learnt that in the 70s, that's still a song that I share with myself in the shower. You know what I mean. When you get up in the morning, you get in a shower and you're having a sing-song and no one can hear you over the sound of the water. And that is one of my favourite shower songs. Now, why? Is it because God has defeated my enemies and drowned them in the Red Sea? No. But metaphorically, God has done the same thing for me that he did for them. I have faced people down who have caused me no end of bother. People who have reported me to the police. People who have got in my face and threatened me. People who have told me my blood would be all over the walls and the ceiling. People who have sent me invoices for things that I didn't owe. People who have told me that I had committed sins that I have not committed. The fact is, there are people out there who are often motivated by evil and dark spirits, and possibly by Satan himself, who are out there trying to bring us down. But when we sing our song, it reminds us of the strength of our God and the power of our God. And as we release our praise in song, it helps not just our spiritual health, it helps our mental health too, because the song gets wedged in our mind. Anybody ever have an earworm? You know what that saying is about an earworm? It's when you have a piece of music playing in your head, just a little clip, and you just can't remember the rest of it, but you've got a bit of it running round. Maybe you've heard an advert with the tune and it's sticking in your head. People call that an earworm. But you know, when we sow one of those into our own brains that's got the word of the Lord in it, it does us a lot of good. And I don't mind 30 odd years after I learnt it, standing in the shower and singing, I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously, the horse and rider thrown into the sea, because it is my experience that God has overcome the enemy of my soul. He has overcome the enemy of my life. And my wife and I can testify to the power of God in our lives. Thank God for our song. My sixth point today is three. This is sad. It took 3 days from the aftermath of the Red Sea before the Israelites were moaning. They came to Marah, it says, where they couldn't drink the water because it was bitter, which is why the place was called Marah, means bitter. The people grumbled to Moses, what are we going to drink? 3 day journey from praising to moaning. It should never be. In fact, for some of us, it takes about 3 minutes to get from praising to moaning, which should definitely never be. The truth is, on the screen, you've got Mr. Moaner. It's a bit of a misdemeanor to be a Mr. Moaner. You know, Mr. Moan is a bad Mr. Man. And all he does is he spreads unhappiness and negativity. And when we moan, we are undermining our own faith, because what we're saying is, God can't help me in this. You see, being a Mr. Moaner is a choice. We can stop. And if I had any message to you today, it would be this. If you're a bit of a moaner, stop it. Did you hear that? I said, stop it. The reality is we need to stop moaning. we need to make sure that instead of seeing all this negativity and just feeding our spirits with our words by just repeating it, it's so bad, it's so terrible, how can we ever recover from this, it's not good, everything's tastes bitter to me, if only we'd died in Egypt. You know, this is just all stuff that doesn't help us. And sometimes it's difficult to help ourselves. But that's why we meet together corporately within the life of the church. That's why it's really important that as a church we meet together. Because we need to encourage one another. And we need to encourage each other to not make things worse for ourselves by moaning. And particularly when we've said all this about worship and praise, we should not moan at God. God is highly exalted and requires that we exalt him. And we should exalt him. We should always honour him for who he is and not moan to him when he has done so much. I know in my own life that from time to time we're in desperate need and we get to the line and God meets our need. But you know, I've never crossed the line. It's always been at the last minute for me, but God has always met my need. And when you see horrible things and things that upset you and things that grind you down, you need to remember that God will be there for you. You need to focus yourself on your song. You need to remind yourself of the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And in doing so, you can be someone who can move from moaning to praising in 3 minutes. And that is the way we should be. Let's not become Mr. Moaners. Let's become people who are worshipping, praising, singing to God of his strength, exalting him and recognizing his goodness. Let's not be moaners. My last point today is healing. You know, it says in verse 25, Moses made a statute, an ordinance for them at Marah, and he tested them there. He said, if you will carefully obey the Lord your God, do what is right in his eyes, pay attention to his commands and keep all his statutes, I will not inflict any illness on you I inflicted on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you. And I want to say to you today, God hasn't changed. He is the God who heals us. What a fabulous promise. What a wonderful thing. You know, when we pray for the sick, sometimes people don't get healed. But most of the time they do. And the fact is, we pray the kingdom of God into their lives, into your lives. We have a queue out here of people coming to be anointed with oil and we pray for the sick and the prayer of faith will raise them up. And when we pray for the sick, when we pray for those, we do so because God is the God who heals. I have never healed anybody. And what's more, I never will. But God. Oh, but God. God is the God who heals you. And I want to remind you today that whatever you're facing, whether it's a mental illness, a physical illness, a financial illness, whatever it is, God is the God who heals you. Whether you have a spiritual infection, God is the God who heals you. I want to recommend Dr. God to you today because he is the most reliable, he is the most convincing, and he specializes in impossible situations. God is the God who heals you. Let's today always remember and focus on the goodness of God and his healing power. I want to encourage you today that just as it was in the days of Moses, it is now, except it's better, because we have Jesus. When Jesus walked this earth, he would often challenge the religious leaders about their observance of the law of Moses. And it's true that they had Moses, but we have Jesus. And Jesus met with Moses and Elijah immediately before his crucifixion. And today we have one who spoke to Moses out of a burning bush and now speaks to us out of his spirit in our hearts. The same Jesus, the same God, the Yahweh of the Old Testament is the Jesus of the New Testament, and both of them are the God who heals us. Today, let us remember that the God who heals us wants to heal us again, and he wants to heal us now. So, we discovered right at the start of Moses' commission that worship was the best starting point. Here, at the end of this phase, it's also the way to complete things. We should be worshipping in and out of worship all of our lives. And let's commit to not being a moaner. Let's stop ourselves. Let's recognise the fickleness of our own selves and ignore the fickleness of others. You know, we can help people. I'm not saying we should ignore people, but let's not focus on their fickleness. Let's deal with ourselves first. Let's deal with the beam in our own eyes before we try to get a speck out of theirs. And let's remember that he is the God who heals us. Would you please bow your heads with me? Father God, we come to you in the glorious name of your Son Jesus. The Jesus who met with Moses, the Jesus who spoke to Moses, the Jesus who is greater than Moses. And we say, Father God, we ask you, Lord Jesus, we ask you, Holy Spirit, we ask you, that today you would be the God who heals us. We pray for each one in this room with their many situations and problems, that right now and today, that you might move miraculously and powerfully in them and through them, bringing a deliverance that is marked and clear, and that you would be the God who heals them today. Father, we're asking you right now that you would touch us. Lord, if there's anyone in this room, if there's anyone listening on the internet who does not have a relationship with you, we ask right now that you would draw them in, that you would embrace them, that they would reach out to you, that they would call on the name of Jesus. And we pray that today might be the start of new things, better things, a new walk, a better way. And Father, I ask you that for all who have a need, that you would be the God who heals them right now. Father, I pray for each one that we know has a need right now, and we just declare the healing of God over them. In Jesus' name, amen.